The public hearings.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson.
I got a hit.
Any question on a motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now back in public hearings. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent. First thing we're going to do is read the rules of procedure for county council hearings. When county council hold public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into account by the county in its deliberations. Each application will be announced, then the director will review with council the minutes and testimony for the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. For each hearing, the applicant will then be called upon to present and explain its application and present reasons supporting the application. After that occurs, council will provide an opportunity for anyone who favors the application to speak, and then any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific proposal and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you do intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and front stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and I will make it part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers have already made. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you do have a cell phone or similar device, we ask that you take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on these applications, council may either approve them, deny them, or defer them to a later date. In addition, in the event the Planning and Zoning Commission has not provided its recommendation report to the county council prior to the county council's hearing on a change in zone or conditional use application, the county council shall accept and consider written comments only from the public on the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendations to County Council for a period of 5 calendar days following the Planning and Zoning Commission's issuance of its recommendation. This does not preclude County Council from requesting additional information as otherwise forbidden and holding the record open for other reasons. Thank you, Mr. Vincent. The first item on the agenda is conditional use number 2153, filed on behalf of Cassandra Taroyan, and I'll just read the short title. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a real estate and investing office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 0.05005 acres more or less. There is a 911 address of 35568 Airport Road, Rehoboth Beach. It is tax parcel number 334-13.00-181.00. Thank you. You may proceed.
So the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on January 10th of this year. At that time, a number of items were submitted into the record, including the results of the service level evaluation from DLDOT that did not require a TIS, comments from the Conservation District, Department of Engineering, Utility Planning Division. There were 4 letters that were in support of the application were submitted into the record. At that meeting, the commission discussed the application and did recommend approval of the conditional use for reasons 1 through 7 and conditions 8A through H. Thank you.
Do you think that map up there is anywhere near correct?
I think it is.
The wrong address?
No, I'm just saying, looks like somebody's got half the stuff on the other property.
Well, it's quite possible the aerial photographs and the property lines do not align correctly. As I always explain it to the members of the public, the maps are flat. the earth is round, so nothing quite lays correctly when you try to lay it flat. So there's a curvature to the items. But I believe they did have a survey, and it was not, I don't think there was
a house. Survey doesn't show anything, doesn't show other people's property, doesn't show that building.
Right.
On the survey. Just curious.
If there is an encroachment onto the property, that would be a civil issue between the property owners.
And I don't believe there is one.
What's the level of service on that road? So they gave you, with LOS, what's LOS on that road?
Del Dot did not provide the level of service. However, they did note that, I just want to make sure, that the number of trips, the average daily traffic volumes along the segment of Delaware Route 16, where the subject lands, is, are 10,042 and 13,216 vehicles per day, respectively. However, based on the proposed land use, it will generate fewer than 50 vehicle trips in any hour and fewer than 500 vehicle trips per day.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, council members. My name is Taylor Elizabeth Trapp, and I'm with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor. And at today's hearing, I represent the applicant, Cassandra Toron, and her well-established wealth management company, Bell Rock Capital. This company's been helping to educate the residents of Sussex County for several years on investing and how to live comfortably in life and throughout their retirement. Their Sussex County office is a small professional office. They currently have 4 full-time employees and 1 part-time employee. Right now, they are renting property at another location here in Sussex County, but they are hoping to soon be able to relocate their Sussex County office to their recently purchased property on Airport Road. The conditional use being requested is in accordance with the comprehensive development plan and promotes the health, safety, morals, convenience, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. And the conditional use is for the general convenience and welfare of the inhabitants of Sussex County. As Janelle already stated, it's important to note that a traffic impact study was not recommended by DelDOT. Also, with approving this application, you will not be affecting the character of the neighborhood, as this property is more viable for a business use than residential use due to its close proximity to Route 1. It is also a heavily traveled road used to access Route 1. In addition to these reasons, there are numerous other businesses located either directly on Airport Road or directly off of Airport Road. There are at least 14 other businesses either on or directly off of Airport Road. Some of these include the Liquid Board Shop, Big Chill Surf Cantina, and a shopping center with at least 8 other locations, just to name a few. Approval of this application also will not affect the value of the community in any kind of negative way. The proposed conditional use is generally similar to the other uses in the vicinity, as proven through my previous statement of how many local other businesses are located directly either on or off of Airport Road. The opening of a real estate and investment office on this property will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties of the community. Again, we're going to bring up the fact that there are 14 other businesses located on or off of this road. My clients also will retain the residential look of this property, have also helped to improve the curb appeal of the property already since they've purchased the property, which has overall increased the beauty of the neighborhood. In some of the letters for recommendation submitted by neighboring landowners, you will see that they do comment on the positive effect my clients have already had in approving the curb appeal of this property. The use of the property for a small professional office will not cause any significant increase of noise or traffic, as my clients tend to only ever have one client in their office at a time. But it's also important to note that a lot of their clients choose not to actually come into the office, but to have their meetings with them either through email, the telephone, or even through video chat. To wrap up my presentation, I'd like to state that this application does meet the purposes of a conditional use, in that it is of public or semi-public character that is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the Sussex County residents. And again, it's important to note that the Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended approval of this application. Thank you.
Any questions of council? Questions of council? Mr. Burton? Yep.
DLDOT has talked about a light on Airport Road and making it, you know, bringing all those developments, connecting Warrington to whatever they're going to call the road that dumps into Airport Road.
Mm-hmm.
Did DLDOT review this as far as putting proper setbacks and that type of stuff for widening of Airport Road?
I'm not 100% sure on that. The only comment I know that DLDOT has made is when we put in our service level evaluation request, and they said that we would not need to have a survey done.
Okay. I have one question.
Hudson?
The parking.
Yes.
Where would that be located on the property?
There is already a parking lot area there, so we are going to be moving those. We'll have some handicap spots right there, but we're not really going to be adding a lot more parking, since it's mostly going to be parking just for their employees and then the one or two customers that they do have come by in person.
Okay, so you're just going to utilize that same parking that's already there right off Airport Road?
Yep, it'll just be marked. Currently, it's not marked, but we marked it on here to where we will have it marked.
Okay, thank you.
And I recall, Mr. Hudson, the commission made a recommendation that there not be any direct access from the parking out onto Airport Road.
That's so, where I was going
with that. You can't back in or out.
That's where I was going with that.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, thank you.
More questions to council? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2153, filed on behalf of Cassandra Turin? Mr. President, seeing none, is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2153, filed on behalf of Cassandra Turoyan? Mr. President, also seeing none in opposition, I believe that
we will close the public hearing. Is it okay with council? Close the public record. Ask Mr. Robertson to read the short title.
Certainly. Again, it's conditional use number 2153 filed on behalf of Cassandra Turoyan. And the short title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a real estate investing office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.5005 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, council. And a motion to.
Mr. President, I move to approve it.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, any questions on that motion? Hearing none, we will take the vote. Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
And for?
Based on P&Z's reasons and with their stipulations.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Riley.
Based on the approval reasons given by planning and zoning, I vote in favor.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes in favor. According to how P&Z voted.
My motion is in favor of planning and zoning's recommendations.
I also agree with their reasons and the conditions they placed on it. I also vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
That's yours, I guess. I've got one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Mr. Robertson?
Certainly. The next item on this afternoon's agenda is conditional use number 2154, filed on behalf of Arturo Granados Gonzalez, and the short title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a concrete construction business with equipment storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 4.51 acres, more or less. And there is no 911 address available, but its tax ID number is 134, 14.00, 20.00, 20.03, and 20.04. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on January 10th of this year. At that time, they noted there was an exhibit booklet submitted to the record, a site plan, a staff analysis, comments from a number of agencies, including the DLDOT results of the service level, which did not require a TIS. At that meeting, they deferred for further consideration. At their meeting of January 24th, they did recommend approval of the conditional use for reasons 1 through 6 and 7A through N. Thank you.
Any questions, council? Hearing none, Mr. Robertson.
Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon, members of council and staff. For the record, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here with the law firm of Morris James. This afternoon, I'm representing the owner of the property as well as the applicant, which is Arturo Granados Gonzalez. Today's application, as you just heard when it was introduced, is for a concrete construction business with equipment storage, utilizing what I'll call the sort of the rear half of the parcel that's on the corner, and then all of lot number two. Ms. Cornwell just highlighted both of those pieces of property on the map for you. When you looked at the exhibit notebooks that were submitted and saw this on your agenda, if this sounded familiar to you, it probably should have, as council considered this last year, actually in October of 2017, for conditional use, for the exact same use for a concrete construction business with equipment storage. That location was on Route 26, Vines Creek Road, just outside of the Dagsboro, and the Planning Commission recommended approval of that conditional use. However, County Council denied the request for a conditional use. And when they, when this council did deny that, one of the things that was emphasized was that Mr. Gonzalez would be given an opportunity and time to find a new location for his business. And the location that you see on the screen around you, which is the subject of today's application, is the location that when he went and did a search with some real estate professionals, that they located as a possible site for him to relocate his business to. As you can see, when you look on the screens, the Planning Commission, or rather the property is this, that is the subject of this application, is located at the intersection of Burbage Road and Jones Road, and these are a little southwest of Millville. The property is owned by Mr. Gonzalez and his wife. The deed for the property is included in your exhibit notebook. Also included in your exhibit notebook is a site plan showing the minor subdivision that created these various lots. At the same time that Mr. Gonzalez acquired it, there was a minor subdivision done, creating what you see as parcels 2, 3, and 4. All the area there used to be part of one tax parcel, and through the minor subdivision process was created the additional lot, where the highlighted yellow is what's referred to as the residual. Presently, the property is zoned AR1 and is within the low density area in the 2008 comprehensive plan, a future land use map for the 2008 comprehensive plan. I know that I don't believe the 2018 future land use map or comprehensive plan has been approved yet by the state, but if you were to look at that, you would see that this area is no longer in a low density area. It is within the coastal area, which, as you know, is one of the growth areas in your comprehensive plan. When this application was originally filed, it was thought that perhaps the best location for the conditional use would be lot number 3, which is being highlighted right now by Ms. Cornwell. However, after placing just a couple of pieces of forms there, just to see how things were going to be situated on the site, they were vandalized almost immediately. And so what Mr. Gonzalez decided was that it would be better to have things closer to the main dwelling where a relative of his resides, and in addition to utilize the existing barn and building towards the rear of the site within this business, and that for security purposes, and so he didn't have to construct another building on lot number 3. Tab 5 in your exhibit notebooks contains the usual array of tax maps and such that you would see, seeing the aerial image like you see, the zoning of the surrounding properties, and this is in an agricultural residential area. Also, you have the land use maps and the state strategies map that are all in those locations. As you would anticipate for a use of this nature, DLDOT did not require a traffic impact study indicating that the traffic impact from this proposed use would be negligible. DLDOT's response is at tab 9 in your exhibit notebook. A little bit about Mr. Gonzalez's business. It is known as AG Concrete Works LLC. They install concrete block foundations, concrete pavers, concrete driveways, pretty much any type of stone or concrete work is the nature of his business. And this property would essentially, I'll use a construction term in the description of it, this would be a staging area for his business. There really isn't any business per se that would be conducted from this site. Presently, his number of employees typically varies from 10 to 15. At the planning and zoning hearing, he indicated to the commission that he presently has 14, including himself. But it can range between 10 to 15. They begin their workday shortly after 7 o'clock. All of the workers will come to this location or whatever location ultimately is approved, and they take the company vehicles and the company equipment, the forms and such that they need for their work, and they drive to whatever location it is that they're performing the work. At the conclusion of the day, they return to this same location and go their various ways at that point. So in looking at the proposed conditions and the recommended conditions from the Planning Commission, there is the typical term that you see, which is hours of operation. And as I just indicated, it's a bit of a misnomer in this because there really is no operation per se that is going on at this exact site. The equipment that would be stored on the site is the company vehicles, as you imagine, with a construction business that consists of a couple of pickup trucks, a small dump truck, a skid steer, mini excavator, flatbed trailers, and concrete forms when they're not being used on job sites. The site plan, which is tab one in your exhibit notebook, shows areas for parking, equipment storage, as well as the fencing and screening that is proposed to surround the property. In the proposed conditions, you'll see one of them is that there will be no retail sales or work performed on the site. In addition, no dumping, no crushing of concrete, none of those things. Again, this is more of a park and ride than it is of an ongoing business operation. There will be a family member, as I indicated, on site, and that helps with security in addition to the fencing and other screening that would be required as part of the conditions of this and then shown on the site plan. The proposed use is consistent with both a conditional use under the zoning code as well as the county's comprehensive plan, as the use is a public or semi-public in character for the convenience and welfare of area residents. In addition, it promotes the general convenience, orderly growth, and prosperity of the county. As I was looking through those standards and looking at the 2018 comprehensive plan that council was working on over the past several years, probably the best demonstration of how this promotes the orderly growth of the county is found in the future land use chapter of the 2018 land use section. And that map shows the development activity by building permits. I've included a copy of that in your exhibit notebook at tab 6. But if you look at that, you can certainly see based upon building permits, where the more active construction areas are in the community. And three of those areas are the Millville area, the Selbyville area, and the southern coastal areas, all of which are in close proximity to this concrete business. And of course, this is a business that supports that industry very closely. For all of those reasons, Mr. Gonzalez would ask that the council would adopt the recommendations of the Planning Commission and grant the conditional use. That concludes my presentation, and I'm certainly available to answer any questions that council or staff may have.
Any questions of council? Any questions? Mr. Burton?
I have no questions.
Are we looking at lots 1, 2, and 3, or what are you asking for the conditional use? Just the two?
Correct. Lot number 2 and where the pole building or the barn is on lot number 1. If you look at the site plan, sort of there's a, the surveyor inserted another line. I don't know if I can draw on here or not.
But you're not looking at this plan on tab 5 with the blue that goes all the way.
No.
Past that tack stitch.
That's correct. Originally the thought was that we would be down, that this operation would be down on lot 3, but due to that vandalism, it's just going to be.
So the conditional use is only those yellow and red line.
Correct.
And that's 5 acres?
So the original application came in and it was much larger. At the Planning Commission meeting, they noted that they did not need parcel 20.04, which has the additional 2.15 acres. So what they are asking for is the conditional use on parcels 20 and 20.03, which is less than 5 acres, because the little over 2 acres from 20.04 is they no longer need based on the testimony of vandalism at the site.
So what is advertised is what we're looking at.
we advertised more than what is now being requested.
The application, if you add the residual, the piece of the residual area that includes the garage and lot number two is 1.41 acres. So it is significantly, almost 3.5 acres less than the five, which the 5 acres includes the, essentially the whole piece that was subdivided into multiple parcels. But the application is just for 1.41 acres of that of those properties.
And do we need to state that?
I assume, Mr. Robertson, that's a valid point. When you read the short title again, you would need to read the two tax IDs.
And not 20
and
points.
And not 20.04.
Yeah.
And then I'm just reading, this is more of a question for Janelle, and I'm just reading, you know, the surrounding lands to the north, south, east, and west is low density area, single family and residential. Convenience goods and services to nearby residents shall be limited in this location. Doesn't seem like a concrete area fits into that statement.
Again, that is, you know, up for the Planning Commission and the County Council to determine whether or not this is an appropriate use. There are some uses for the land, the uses that provide convenience, good, and services to nearby residences should be limited in their location, size, and hour of operation. And it does, the comprehensive plan does state that the use of auto repair and gasoline shall should be avoided in those areas. It doesn't specifically state that this is something that should be prohibited. It is something that could be considered.
And if I may, I think two things that I would respond to Mr. Burton's comments with is, first, it's not a, nobody's crushing concrete, mixing concrete, you know, there's not the equipment beeping all over the place, and it's not a, you know, an industrial zone, which would be inappropriate for a residential neighborhood. And so, as I said, this is a lot closer to just being a park and ride. It's where his workers gather in the morning and then in the afternoon when they disperse for the day. The second thing I would note is I think the closest neighbor, when you measure this out, is the one directly across the street, parcel 36.02. I know that both Mr. Gonzalez and myself have spoken with the owner of that lot, Mr. Evans, and he has no objection. He indicated to me that he has no objection to this, and he's in the construction industry and knows Mr. Gonzalez and his company.
And how many trucks did you say would be on this site? Did you say that or just employees?
I didn't. I said the number of employees. At the Planning Commission, Mr. Gonzalez indicated that there's about 6 drivers of his 14 employees. And so there's essentially 6 cars that would come in the morning and then come and pick up the various pieces of equipment that are there. And there's a similar number of, he's got a couple, several pickup trucks, and then the small dump truck that he uses to take things to the sites. So in that nature, 6 to 8 trucks or vehicles, I think, at any time.
I guess your comment of a park and ride kind of scared me a little bit, right? Because I wouldn't want to see it turn into a collection of heavy equipment all stored on this site rolling out when it's not presented that way, right? As a concrete storage facility.
Sure, and it's a, and that's one of the reasons why I think why the Planning Commission recommended that there be fencing and screening is to keep it more of a residential look and feel to it. But certainly, and I know one of the Planning Commission members wanted to make sure if this gets to the site plan approval stage, there was adequate parking and screening for the vehicles that would be there. And one of the conditions relates to where the storage of forms, concrete forms, would be. And just, I think, those go to your questions and concerns about the residential nature of this area.
And the size of the lot, right? So if we condition it, if the lot is what we are talking about, then that'll limit it as well.
Yes, correct.
Can I make a statement?
Mr. Hudson?
It's not really a question, but it's a statement. I was very familiar with Mr. Gonzalez's operation up on Route 26, and it was kept very neat. and it was very well kept, I will say that. And Mr. Scott Evans, came to me about this and said he had no objection to it, and he lives right across the street. We all know Mr. Evans.
Question to council? Comments? Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2154 filed on behalf of Arturo Granados Gonzalez? Mr. President, seeing none, is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2154 filed on behalf of Arturo Granados Gonzalez? Mr. President, also seeing none, I think you can close the public hearing and close the record if that's your choice.
We'll close the public hearing. It's okay with council. Close public record. Ask Mr. Robertson to read the short title and make sure we specify the tax ID numbers.
Right. So it's, again, conditional use number 2154 filed on behalf of Arturo Granados Gonzalez. And the short title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a concrete construction business with equipment storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 4.51 acres more or less, being tax ID numbers 134, 14.00, 20.00, and 20.03, tax parcel number 134, 14.00, 20.00, having been withdrawn from this application by the applicant.
Do we, just a question, do we, just for clarity, do we need to change the acres? We're not approving 4.51 acres now, obviously. Mm-hmm.
So we certainly can. I can reread it if you'd like, Mr. President. Just if I
maybe just to clarify that, yeah, if we know what that number about is. That.
So it should be 2.36 acres.
Okay.
Okay. If I did the math correctly.
Let me reread the short title just so that's in the correctly in the minutes. Again, it's conditional use number 2154. Filed on behalf of Arturo Granados Gonzalez, which is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a concrete construction business with equipment storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 2.36 acres more or less, being tax ID numbers 134, 14.00, 20.00, and 20.03, with tax ID number 134, 14.00, 20.04 having been withdrawn from this application. Thank you, Mr. President.
Pleasure, Council.
Mr. President, I move for approval of conditional
motion, use. Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. And Mr. Riley, you're going to get to go first. It's your district.
Go first. All right. I'm going to vote in favor of this based on the conditions offered by planning and zoning. And my vote's yes.
Hudson?
My vote is yes, based on planning and zoning's recommendations and conditions.
Wilson?
My vote's yes on recommendation of P&Z.
Burke?
My motion is in favor with P&Z's recommendations.
I also agree with planning and zoning's reasons and conditions placed, and I will vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir. Next.
Mr. President, the next one is conditional use number 2162, filed on behalf of Yellow Metal LLC. And the short title of this one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district and C1 general commercial district for a paving construction business with an office and equipment storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 39.630 acres, more or less. The 911 address is 20288 Broad Dogs Place in Georgetown. The tax ID number is 135.11.00, 31.00. And before we begin on this particular one, members of council, there is not yet a recommendation from planning and zoning. So that means under the new rules that were adopted, I think at your first meeting of this year, the record will be held open for 5 calendar days following receipt of the Planning and Zoning Commission's report on this application.
Correct.
So just keep that in mind. There won't be a vote today. It'll just be to close the record or close the public hearing and hold the record open for that. Thank you, Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on January 10th of this year. At that time, a number of items were submitted into the record, including a staff analysis, an exhibit booklet, comments from a number of reviewing agencies, results of the service level evaluation from DLDOT that did not require a TIS. Again, as Mr. Robertson stated, the Planning and Zoning Commission has deferred this for further consideration, has not yet made a recommendation. Thank you.
Any questions of council? Questions of council? Mr. Robertson.
You may proceed.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Blake Carey of the Smith Firm LLC for the applicant Yellow Metal LLC. As you've heard, the applicant is seeking a conditional use of land located at 20288 Raw Dogs Place in Georgetown, Delaware, which is currently and mostly in an AR1 district. The conditional use would be for a paving construction business on the property. Notably, the property is located off of Route 1, and the first, I believe it's 500 feet, is zone C1. That portion of the property is quite unique in that, as you can see, it's very narrow for the purpose of the applicant's business, which would particularly be the storage of paving construction equipment. It's not safe, or it would not be safe or feasible to place that equipment upon the portion that is zoned C1, hence the conditional use application. With respect to the applicant himself, the applicant is under contract to purchase the property. Yellow Metal LLC will be the future owner, purportedly. The applicant also operates Peninsula Paving Company, which is currently off of Old Landing Road in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. However, the applicant has outgrown that property. The applicant himself provides construction services throughout Delmarva, particularly with respect to site preparation, paving, seal coating, line striping, parking areas, roadways for residential, agricultural, and commercial projects, and other parking-related work. If I may, the applicant also employs 15 to 20 employees. It differentiates based on the season. Obviously, in the summer seasons and when it's busy, there are some more employees. What they'll do, and typically the day starts or begins at 5:45 a.m. when employees would arrive at the site, prepare for the work day, load any equipment onto trailers that needs to be removed from the property, and then leave for the work day, which will be all jobs off-site. With respect to the end of the day, typically folks come back at or around 6 p.m., unload the equipment and leave and go home or do what they may. There will be 2 to 4 employees who will remain on the property at what you'll see in the site plan. There are 2 buildings on the property. One within the C1 area will be used as an office. That's where the 2 on-site employees will be located. So the applicant himself intends to utilize all the existing structures on the property. The applicant will not conduct any retail sales on the property, and manufacturing will not take place on the property. The paving and construction equipment are proposed to be stored within the AR1 portion, and if you'll look at either the aerials or the site plan that are provided in your packet, you'll see that within that AR1 portion there is what I've labeled as a barn in the photographs, and it's also labeled on a barn by the boundary survey plan. That's where equipment will be stored. Parking for employees will be around that barn. And again, I've explained when those employees will come and go. They'll leave their regular vehicles there at the property until they leave for the day. The parking lot itself will be something of composed milling CR6 stone. Water for the property is serviced by a well, and wastewater is via septic system. With respect to the application itself, we would propose that it is within the boundaries for a conditional use. The proposed conditional use is similar in character to the surrounding properties, which includes several construction sites, industrial warehouses, and other commercial buildings and builders adjacent to the property and along Route 9. What you'll see, and what is also unique about this property, if you look at the aerials, is that it's essentially, there's quite a large buffer of trees between the AR1 portion of the property and Seashore Highway or Lewis Georgetown Highway Route 9. So to that end, the proposed conditional use area will essentially be shielded from Route 9 with the trees that are growing there. As far as the first 500 feet, again, that's zoned C1, so that's not a problem for operating the actual business out of that warehouse or building that's proposed there or sitting there. As far as the AR1 portion, it is in a low-density area pursuant to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. The applicant's proposed use is not an intense commercial use, as you've heard Janelle state, such as auto sales or gasoline sales, but rather the proposed conditional use is, in our opinion, permissible with the plan. Also, it will benefit the public health, welfare, and safety of future residents of Sussex County in that the applicant provides services that benefit farmers, that benefit residents, that benefit retailers. So all those combined would benefit the future of Sussex County itself. The applicant will also address the needs of agriculture and future residents and neighboring properties along this property in particular. Lastly, and again, we don't have or need a traffic impact study, and the use of the property itself will not, in our opinion, impact neighboring properties or roadways based upon the fact that, again, there is that large tree buffer between the AR1 portion and Route 9. And again, all the red you see is obviously there, C1. So that includes or concludes my presentation, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Question to council? Question?
Mr. Burton.
I don't want to break a string, you know. So the front portion is going to be the business side
and the office, if you will.
The office,
correct.
And then the conditional use is the whole rest of the 40 acres.
As of right now, it is, yes.
Why so much?
Well, particularly the reason for the applicant wanting to purchase this property is that he has outgrown his current site, which is rented. So when the application was made, we did not put in any specific limiting of the acreage that's involved. I believe that did come up at planning and zoning. I'm not sure if that was discussed at their other hearing on old business, and perhaps that's something they will discuss when this goes back to the planning and zoning.
All right. I mean, what I heard was you're just going to store equipment, trucks, and employees back there, right?
It will be storage of equipment, which
like
is
1 acre per employee.
I suppose so. But we also do have, obviously construction equipment is large, and if it's stored, it may outgrow the site if the applicant purchases more construction equipment. So without limiting the applicant's ability to grow, that was a factor in for asking for the entire parcel for the conditional use. Sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Question to council? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Roberts.
Thank you. We'll see. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2162, filed on behalf of Yellow Metal LLC? Anyone? Appears that there are none. Mr. President, I'll ask now for anybody in opposition. Is there anybody here who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2162 filed on behalf of Yellow Metal LLC? Also, seeing none, it appears that we can close the public hearing, but again, leave the record open for the receipt of the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation.
And 5 days
and
after
5 days
that.
For written comment only.
Correct.
And it's 5 calendar days,
right,
based on the rules.
We will close public hearing, and as our new rules specify, we will await planning and zoning recommendation. And once we get that in the record, then we wait 5 more days for anybody to make public comment in writing, and then we can close the record then.
Right, that's correct.
So I'm going to, if we have no choice, we have to defer it.
That's correct.
So all we need now, I guess, is a motion to defer,
right,
on conditional use number 2162, followed by a Yellow Metal LLC.
Defer it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton, to defer until we get the recommendation of planning and zoning, and then the record stays open for 5 days after that public comment in writing. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
No. Don't even try that. I believe yes, it's deferred. Not for deferral. Okay. Next.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next item and last item on this afternoon's agenda is change of zone number 1866 filed on behalf of Triple B Farms, LLC. Excuse me. And the short title is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an I1 institutional district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 18.3155 acres, more or less. There is no 911 address available. It is tax ID number 235-27.00-11.01. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on January 10th of this year.
Mr. Burton's going to recuse himself.
Thank you.
From the hearing.
At that time, submitted into the record were a staff analysis, an exhibit booklet, a site plan, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the results of the DLDOT service evaluation, and other county comments. At that time, they did defer for further consideration. At their January 24th public hearing, they did recommend approval of the change of zone for reasons 1 through 7. Thank you.
Good afternoon. For the record, Gene Byers on behalf of the applicant and the property owner, Bay Health Medical Center. Bay Health brought this property last October from the original applicant, Triple B LLC. This, at least in my failing memory, is the second application for the I-1 institutional zoning classification in the county. The first was BB Medical Center's 20-acre parcel next to the Tunnel Cancer Center. Steve Fortunato from Becker Morgan, the project engineer and architect, is here with us today. And Terry Murphy, who was disguised as Terry Murphy, will speak on behalf of Bay Health. He's a little busy. He's been multitasking since midnight.
Yes.
Midnight. Janelle, if you could put the zoning map from Route 5, Route 9 to Cool Spring up. There's another one, I think it's. No, it's invisible almost. I'll do the best I can with what we have. Looking at the screen, you can't see.
She's got it.
There you are. The area on Route 9 between the Route 5 intersection and Cool Spring has been the subject of continuous zoning activity over the years. As you know, Route 9 is identified as a major arterial road by county ordinance. DLDOT identifies it as a principal arterial road. The county's comprehensive plan update identifies Route 9 between Georgetown and Route 1 as a growing business corridor, which should provide local residents with goods and services without having to travel to Route 1. The screen that you can barely see identifies more than a dozen changes, zoning changes, over the years in this corridor, from AR1 to B1, C1, or CR1, involving various retail, small business, service, trade, professional, and medical uses, including several doctor's offices and a long-term care facility for traumatic injury patients. Most recently, a 3-plus-acre parcel directly across Route 9 was rezoned by council and is now a Dollar General store open for business. To that property's immediate west, there is a large mini-storage facility under construction. At the same time along this corridor, there has been significant residential development. To the north, there is subdivision known as Lazy Lake. To the immediate west, there is a townhouse community known as Shoreview Woods. Further west, there is Hunter's Mill. Further west, there are the trails of Beaver Creek and the meadows of Beaver Creek. All told, more than 600 homes in this corridor on Route 9. With that neighborhood perspective, I'd ask Steve Fortunato to come up, identify himself, and talk about the site.
Good afternoon. My name for the record is Steve Fortunato. Work for Becker Morgan Group, and I'm here representing the applicant, Bay Health Medical Center. As stated, this this rezoning, we're asking to rezone the subject property from the AR1 zoning to the I1 zone. This property is about 18.3 acres. It was subdivided off of the 215-acre parcel. Currently, it is a vacant agricultural use. There are some woods on the property. There is an existing stormwater pond. I'm actually going to, I don't know if you could bring up the site plan, maybe? So as you can see, this is basically a concept we've prepared for your information for this rezoning. The site lies at the northeast corner of Route 9 and Hudson Road. As stated, Route 9 is a principal arterial. Hudson Road is a minor collector. There is an existing stormwater pond in the bottom left-hand corner that was completed as part of the DelDOT intersection project. That intersection was recently, I think it was completed in 2015 by DelDOT, and was improved significantly in an attempt to, you know, correct an aging infrastructure there. We would propose probably stormwater down in the same area. That's where, you know, it drains to. Again, I just want to emphasize this is you know, a preliminary concept plan for the purpose of rezoning, just to give you guys an idea of what might go there. We would obviously have to go through the full site plan and construction approval process when the time comes. The site is served by all relevant utilities. In particular, there's a 12-inch water main and an 8-inch sewer force main that are owned by Artesian that serve the property, and we have a letter of intent to serve from them. I believe Verizon serves electric in Delmarva for power. Again, the intersection was recently upgraded. A TIS has not been recommended to be required by DelDOT for the rezoning. They basically stated that for rezoning, you don't have enough knowledge of the use, and therefore generating traffic is a little too difficult to really do a study. So they recommended that be done as part of the site plan approval process. Right now, you know, we're generally proposing access only to Hudson Road, not to Route 9. Obviously, there's a little bit room for, you know, some changes in the site plan, and that would be more refined as the process moved forward. We did go to PLUS. We received their comments and responded to their comments. I don't remember anything too contentious. There was word of a cemetery. However, that cemetery is not on our property, so that comment wasn't you know, wasn't impactive to the proposal. And that being said, I think that's all that I had to cover on the site plan side of things.
Thanks, Steve. I'd ask Terry.
One question while you're, it looks like you're attempting to save all those trees that's on that part of that property, the other half of it, whatever.
Generally, yeah. It from the basic site layout, it looks like we've got enough open space to meet our needs without clearing them. Makes stormwater a little bit easier if you don't clear trees and some of the regulations. But so at the time, no.
Thank you.
Harry.
Make sure I buffer, huh?
Please identify yourself.
Thank you. My name is Terry Murphy. I'm the president and CEO of Bay Health, and I reside in Camden, Wyoming, Delaware, when I'm not working. And I apologize for my address today. Today, at 1:39 this afternoon, we completed our move, and we've now closed Milford Hospital and transferred all of our patients, which began at 2 in the morning. So I appreciate allowing me to be here in the dress.
Can you turn around for a second so council can see what you're wearing?
There you go.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so healthcare is continuing to shift to outpatient. So not only on the project up north do we have a large outpatient facility. This is about expanding outpatient services, which more and more healthcare is moving towards. We think it's going to improve access, convenience to patients, and also provide a choice to a growing population of aging and growing population. Although we haven't finalized our plans, we think that the way things are going, we anticipate an additional plus or minus 45 new jobs associated with the medical complex. And the types of things that we're looking at on this site include diagnostic services, walk-in care, which is a better alternative than emergency care, as well as much-needed primary care physician office spaces, family practice physician office spaces, and specialty physicians. So much has been written about the need for physicians in Kent and Sussex County, and this would serve those needs. And our next step is really just continued planning for the site, and I appreciate your consideration, your time.
Gentlemen, that's the application. Do you think that what's in front of you is consistent with the character and trend of development in this area of Route 9? This meets the language, the intent of the I-1 institutional zoning classification, and it meets a stated goal of the comprehensive plan by locating a project such as this on a major arterial road. As Terry said, this is a big day for the health. We'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
Any questions of council? Thank you, sir. Mr. Robertson?
Thank you, Mr. Byrd. Again, for change zone number 1866, is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of change in zone number 1866, originally filed on behalf of Triple B Farms, LLC? Okay.
Come on to the podium,
yep.
Please.
Whoever's, yeah.
Yeah,
sir, if you'd come forward. Looks like we have two individuals.
And you took a place to sign up there for you. If you sign up, please, and then.
Okay. Well, where are we? Good afternoon. My name is Peter Romet. That's R-O-O-M-E-T. And I'm a board member of Lazy Lake, and I'm for the medical facility. We've recently retired here. We've had property for nearly 20 years in Lazy Lake. My one concern is to the architect. Lighting. It's very important that we don't lose our night sky. So I wanted on record that requesting that any parking lot is state-of-the-art directing down. The Dollar General store did a pretty darn good job with theirs. And I sit down by the pond almost every night, and even our street lights are shined down. And I can look up and see the stars in the sky. And up north, I lost all that because of Walmart and everything else. So my concern, and Lazy Lake's concern as a board member, is that you take really into consideration making sure that you don't steal the night sky. That's my main concern. As a retired guy with spare parts, I welcome the thing across the street. That's a good idea. But yeah, we don't want to lose our night sky. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll make sure that's part of the record in the minutes as well, as concerned.
Yeah.
Mr. Rieger, you
come on now, please sign up.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The questions that I'm here for is with the new classification for the zoning. We're bringing this in for institutional zoning district. And as noted, I've had a lot of questions about different things that came in under the definition for nursing and similar care facilities and where it was placed in Board of Adjustment and County Council under a change of zone. It seems like recently there was one that came in, and what is the height restriction for the new zone? Is it 42 or 60?
For the I zone.
It's higher than 42.
Yeah.
Well, the institutional zone, I believe, and I have to check, is 42 feet. However, certain uses, certain hospital schools can actually go up to 60 feet.
Up to 60 feet.
Correct. Certain institutional uses, there's a section of code that allows them to go up to 60.
Yeah, sorry.
And with the property, once it's zoned, if this wasn't built, another property came and bought it. The other one ended up, I believe, going to 95 feet. In the IH zone, or however you want to call it, the institutional zone. To prevent something else from this on the 18 zones, how could this be done in the code to prevent it, where if it's coming in now showing a site plan for under 42 feet or under 60 feet, what should be it, to allowing it to go in front of Board of Adjustment and just automatically getting approved, because I'm still trying to understand with the Board of Adjustment approving, if they purchase this today, you say 60 feet for a hospital or in that nature, and here they come in, sold to somebody, they want to build a hospital here, and they decide to go to 95, or they want to be 110, bigger than the prior one. If you come in and say under Board of Adjustment for allowing the height allowance, what's the disclaimer? You can't adversely affect the neighboring communities. How is going up going to adversely affect them? You view or blocking anything really doesn't come into play that I can see on Board of Adjustment. And if you're coming in underneath for the variance side of it, couldn't otherwise be developed. How could it not be otherwise developed? Why are you coming in for it, for the height variance? It could be developed at 60 feet. Why does it have to go to 120 feet or 100 feet or 95 feet?
Mr. Rieger, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, this is an application for a rezoning to I-1, and you're presupposing that there's going to be an application to the Board of Adjustment. The I-1 hasn't been approved yet, and they haven't even submitted a site plan for specific use in the I-1, so I'd ask that you keep it to whether or not the I-1 zoning is appropriate for this parcel.
That is what I'm trying to say, is if we're going to do the I-1, and it's always assumed that once it's approved, it doesn't matter what goes on it afterwards. But the point that I'm here today is because I missed the last one, and I believe that there was a person even during that hearing had asked a question about height, and I don't believe that she had the imagination that it was going to go that high. So it's just something that may have been overlooked or done differently. And I'm just looking at, if you're zoning something like this, do I believe that they're going to build what they're going to build? Most likely. But if another person comes in for the institutional, how do you trust them? How do you know who's going to do what? So when you're making these institutional changes, it's on the right road. It's on a major road coming out. So if you're putting it there, it's just with coming in to change the code to make it up so we don't have the problems with it. That's what I'm after.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of change in zone number 1866 filed on behalf of Triple B Farms LLC? Mr. President, seeing none, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to change in zone number 1866 filed on behalf of Triple B Farms LLC? Mr. President, seeing none, looks like we can close the record on this one. Oh, I'm sorry.
Got to raise your hand, Art.
Yeah.
William Miller.
Oh, wait, Mr. Miller.
Come down front, please. Yeah. Identify yourself and sign in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're pen up there. Okay.
Thank you.
William Miller. I have the property, 18412 across the street. I'm a little indecisive, but I think I am more opposed to anything because my major concerns are going to be traffic. And this gentleman had a great point here because, it's a commercial building. Shouldn't it, entry and egress be on 9 and not Hudson? I, something I didn't think of. And my major concerns with tour is going to be, it's just traffic. It's bad enough out there already. There was 30 cars at the light this morning at 11. So how much worse can it get? Maybe the roads need to be widened. And I'm worried about I have concerns with the trash coming in and out, medical waste, and where it's going to be keeping, because I don't want to smell trash, being blown in my direction in the summer or anytime, So that's it. That's my two cents.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, if they need a window guy, I got the glass. Because the show must go on, right?
And for the gentleman's benefit, the location of the dumpster and that sort of thing, that would be addressed as part of site plan review. And the Planning and Zoning Commission and staff in particular does take a real hard look at that. So.
I understand. And it's probably something that I'm just over-worried about.
No, it's
valid. To express.
No, it's fine, certainly.
It looks like a great building, but is this going to be a, is it going to be kind of like a retirement home or?
Well, that's permitted in this zone with I-1. That's one of the permitted uses in the new zoning classification. What they've stated is it's going to be sort of an outpatient facility, so it wouldn't be any residential, uses there.
We're building a place for Mike to retire in.
There you go.
I'm I'll come over, bring you some cookies.
There you go. That's what we got. I'm okay with that.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to change in zone number 1866 filed on behalf of Triple B Farms LLC? Mr. President, it appears that there is no one else who would like to speak on this one. We do have the recommendation from Planning and Zoning.
Sure.
Keep it in mind for the benefit of the new members. This one is a change in zone, so there's no conditions. It's either approval or denial.
We will close public hearing. So give us the council close public record and ask Mr. Robertson to read the short title.
And we'll certainly do that. Again, it's change in zone number 1866 filed on behalf of Triple B Farms LLC, and the short title is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an I1 institutional district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 18.3155 acres more or less.
Pleasure, council.
Mr. President, I move to approve.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion?
The question on the lighting, would that be addressed?
As part of the site plan.
Site plan.
Yeah. And that's why I asked that it be put in the minutes, so that when we refer back at P&Z, when it comes back up, there would be a trigger to, sure, to remember that.
Sure. Any more questions? We will take the vote. We'll let Mr. Riley vote first.
Based on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes based on P&Z's recommendations.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes on plan recommendations of P&Z.
Also agree with Planning and Zoning's reasons and a recommendation. I vote yes. Motion carried. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We're adjourned. Thank you.